My name is Michael Dawson from The Actual Factory, and welcome to session two of our free audio course, NLP in Residential Youth Work. If you're just joining us, you can skip back to the first session and follow along with these weekly commuter-sized sessions of audio. And you can share in the power of NLP for residential youth workers. To avoid repetition, I'd suggest visiting theactualfactory.com to get the free download, access to lots of free training courses, should it still be available. It depends when you actually get to hear this. And you can also find out about my mission. My mission is to prove to you as a residential youth worker that you've got the greatest job in the world. Now, these episodes will hopefully be able to provide value as they stand, but don't forget, of course, to get the supporting notes by clicking around here somewhere and clicking the button and downloading the notes. So no introduction to NLP would really make sense without putting it into context and building an idea of its origins. So welcome to session two of NLP Residential Youth Work. This audio stream is available for you free of charge. So if you find it useful or interesting, then you may consider subscribing so that you don't miss each weekly session. The entire course will soon be available on my website to buy or free, dependent on our relationship or when you are hearing this. The quickest starting point in our relationship is to click the link below and follow the prompts. As the name suggests, we will be tilting everything we do towards residential youth work, but that does not undermine its usefulness to you, whatever you do in youth work. I hope that I was able to noticeably shorten the introduction this week. So, hands up who remembers the 70s or actually lived through some of it. I would say not many of you, I suspect. I mean, for people who did, people like me, it felt like a time when humanity had kind of hit its peak. There was a peace vibe taking over. There was the dawn of technology. We would go to the moon. And there were the early hints of civil rights and acceptance in the air. And although not fully formed, these things were being kind of talked about. So whatever your age, you can take all of that with however many pinches of salt as you wish, because I'm wearing my rose-coloured glasses again. But in fact, back then, we were years away from the launch of an internet, and personal computers were not around. In fact, I remember wondering what the hell I'd do with one if I ever got one. And obviously now I couldn't live without it. So many of you may have never known a world that was unconnected, where knowledge was sought from books and we had as many physical friends as we could fit into our spare bedroom. And I'm told the optimum number of friends we can cope with is around about 150. So this is the backdrop to the creation of NLP, and it's testament to the fact that it's still here. In fact, computing has become an analogy often attributed to NLP. It's often described as kind of decoding the software of the human mind. And note the word mind here, not brain, which is a very different thing altogether. So while I was going to school and my older peers were going to music festivals in tie-dyed t-shirts, two guys from the University of California, Santa Cruz were thinking differently. Yeah, I'm aware that was an Apple quote, but it's an apt description. Richard Bandler was a young and vibrant psychology student, and John Grinder was a seasoned linguistic professor. And they came together with an unconventional mission to study and decipher the magic behind the success of certain therapists. Like trying to crack the code behind a master chef's special dish when everyone else is merely enjoying the food. Instead of trying to put right what was wrong, they thought, why not look at those who are already doing it right and find out how and why? Once we know that, we can codify the success. And this voyage of discovery is what led to the birth of NLP. They did this by literally and philosophically sitting behind a one-way mirror, watching the very best talk therapists at work. They observed, analyzed, dissected the techniques of these people. They started to decode what made these people so good at what they did. Now, as a side note, you'll know from the free download on the website, The Big Four and Why They Matter, that the data, and this is not attributed to Bannell and Grindler, indicates there are quite a few things that are of no relevance whatsoever. And I think this matters to us. Age, sex, orientation seem to have no bearing on any positive outcomes. So if you've not read the PDF on the subject, you can get that free on the website at any time. Just go to theactualfracture.com and hit start here. There's a little start here button in the menu. Back to these two fellows. What they did was build a model of excellence. And instead of trying to work out to do something from scratch, they thought, why not just model what the very best performers do? And this modeling idea is fairly common, I would say, today. If you do exactly what Warren Buffett does, would you be rich? If you do what Ronaldo does, would you also be the greatest footballer ever, or the second greatest, depending upon your biases? But you get the idea. So they studied the best master chefs, the superstars, the maestros of talk therapy. These were people like Fritz Perls, Virginia Satir, and the enigmatic Milton H. Erickson. So for context, and unfortunately if you weren't around in the 70s, let me paint a picture of these people. In every one of these, you'll sense elements of NLP as we go further into the course. Fritz Perls was the Gestalt pioneer. Perls believed that individuals must be viewed as a whole. His Gestalt therapy is rooted in the present moment and emphasizes personal responsibility. Picture a therapist session where a client speaks of feeling at odds with himself. Perls might ask her to have a conversation between the confident self and the insecure self, letting these kind of fragmented parts communicate. And this often led to these profound realizations for the client. One such story goes that a young man was torn between his ambition and his fear of failure, and he was asked by Perls to have this inner dialogue. The result was a tearful recollection with his past failures and an acceptance that paved his path forward. So recognizable, these techniques, especially later on as we go forward. Virginia Satir was a family therapist. Satir delved into family dynamics, asserting that changes in one family member would ripple through the entire system. And I often use this analogy in my sessions, the idea of the mobile. By pushing one bit, the rest will shift relative to the others. Another technique was to use physical position to differentiate people, to obtain different perspectives. It's something I've used with myself and students. On paper, it sounds odd, but in reality, it can offer new perspectives. After all, we all know that the brain uses perspective in many, many ways to judge situations. Think of the classic low chair that you will find in the boss's office. Exactly. And then there was Milton H. Erickson, known as the master of hypnotherapy. Side note, watch out for my hypnotherapy course that's going to be coming up on this feed in the coming months. I mean, bear in mind that this course is not only for residential youth workers like you as a standalone, but I would say it's a given that existing students of the Solutions Toolkit with the Action Fracture, you'll recognize the root of many of these techniques, and by definition they're embedded in my framework for working with young people in residential care. You know, so there's a tale about how Erickson helped a young man overcome his fear of exams. So instead of directly confronting him, Erickson regaled a tale of his own youth and how he would watch his mother bake and the patience required to let the dough rise. So the story, seeming completely unrelated, had embedded suggestions about patience and trust in the process and the eventual result. So the young man, without realizing, internalized these messages, resulting in a marked improvement in his approach to exams. So for me, Erickson highlighted the power of stories and the suggestion, which is why I've always been an avid collector of kind of inspirational stories. So NLP started as a therapeutic tool, but soon expanded into fields like business, sports, art, leadership. And like a river from a small spring, NLP grew in force and direction, and it was fed by streams of insights from various disciplines. And after decades, NLP, the idea of decoding the mind, is now recognizable everywhere and in every area of business. So before we start to delve into the components of how they might work for you as a residential youth worker, so let's look at the core presumptions and their importance. Number one, the path is not the territory. So just as a map is a representation and not the actual terrain, our perception is merely a reflection of the world or people around us. And this is coloured by our experiences, beliefs, values. Imagine a group of youth workers discussing a particular teen. Now, each will have their own unique map of that person, influenced by individual interactions and their own belief systems. And likewise, the young person views the world through their own map of the world. Hence the 8 laws of client interaction section in the Solutions Toolkit training. You may remember the traditional story of the blind men and the elephant. I'm sure we all remember that. The blind men brought into the room and allowed to touch an elephant. Each person perceived the animal differently based on the parts they touched, forming their own unique map of the elephant. One believed it to be a tree, another believed it was a snake, and so on and so on. And being blind, they had no access to that bigger picture. And so the idea goes that we've got no real picture of the whole, and neither do our young people. And this is a powerful reminder that our perception is limited and subjective. Next, there is no failure, only feedback. Think back to a time when a failure taught us valuable lessons. I don't need to quote Edison when asked how he had managed to keep going despite thousands of failures. His response was, "I have not failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work." In the realm of working with youth, this presupposition ensures that setbacks are seen as kind of stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. The next one will be really familiar to our students. People have all the resources they need. Deep within every individual lies a reservoir of potential. So imagine a teenager, written off by many, suddenly discovers their love for music or art and turn their life around. That potential was always there. It was waiting to be tapped into. It wasn't invented overnight. It already existed. Next, the meaning of communication is the response you get. An old parable tells a story of a man who shouts hello into a valley and gets back the response, "Who are you?" Puzzled, he shouts back, "Who are you?" only to get the same reply. Communication is about the outcome, not just intention. Next, every behavior has a positive intention. A rebellious teen might be seeking attention, acceptance, or a sense of identity. Recognizing this can shift the perspective from frustration to empathy, or we say in NLP, every problem was once the solution to another problem. Now that's worth a pause. Every problem was once the solution to another problem. I'm not sure I've ever found a case in point where that is not true. So you take someone like, say, Alex in a residential home, always disruptive during group activities. So instead of reprimanding him, one worker realized his talent for storytelling, and then they channeled this into a kind of positive outlet, transforming him from a disruptor to the group's long-awaited storyteller. I'll be telling you stories later about using these kind of gang mentalities, using the pre-programmed bits of software already there to the young person's advantage. And understanding these core beliefs is like having a compass in this vast ocean of human interactions. And for youth workers, these aren't just principles, they're lifelines. They'll guide them through the challenging yet rewarding journey. That, I think, is a roundup of NLP, and we're going to go deeper into some of the techniques in this course, and you'll be astounded at the power they hold in residential youth work situations. I'll be talking about my real-world experiences in your sector and in the therapeutic sector. Now, if you're interested in jumping ahead and going deeper, I'd suggest The Structure of Magic is a book by Richard Bandler, very old book, but wonderful. A single line in that book changed my life forever. And if you don't know me or you haven't been involved in my training, I want to share that with you for that reason, because it applies to all of us. It particularly resonated with me as an ex-care kid. I'm paraphrasing here, but the sentiment was this: I had a terrible childhood, but once is enough Thank you. Beautiful. The other book I'd recommend is called My Voice Will Go With You by Gary Rose, and it breaks down some of the methods applied by Erickson marvelously. Finally, and completely unrelated, any of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. They're absolutely wonderful. So we're no longer in the 70s, of course, but for that reason, I'm probably obliged to say I have no affiliations with any of the books, obviously. However, not being in the 70s, far from the 70s, in fact, it's testament to this body of work that we are still talking about and using NLP. In the coming episodes, I can't wait to share some of these real-world examples of this mumbo-jumbo performing miracles in my work. I hope you'll join me. Please remember to click on the links around this episode to download some notes that provide a summary of whatever we've discussed that applies every week. My name is Michael Dawson. This is the Action Factory podcast, where you can join us every week in enjoying the greatest job in the world, residential youth work. Thanks for being there. I'm going to be back next week.